And the title of this message is Sacrifice of Thanksgiving. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 29 says, "And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will." The word thanksgiving, in this passage, it means an extension of the hand. Adoration. And the word adoration means a deep love, a deep respect. So, when you offer a sacrifice of adoration, of deep love and respect, it can be in the form of worship, of choir. It could be that you're speaking to God in your mind. But notice, the text says, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In the New Testament, the word thanksgiving is also mentioned and can also mean actively grateful to God, an act of worship, sacrifice of thanksgiving. So, in other words, thanksgiving is a form of sacrifice. Now you have to ask yourself, what does that mean? You see, when this call was given to me to come here and speak, and I thought it strange, Thanksgiving on a youth day. But then I went to the Word of God, and where it first mentions Thanksgiving, it was linked in with the ceremonial services of the time of old. And as I dug a bit deeper, there was a powerful lesson behind it. Sacrifice of thanksgiving. And the text does not finish there. It says, you must bring it at your own will. You see, the other sacrifices and oblations that took place in the days of old, there were specific times that were set apart that you had to appear before God. If you sinned, you had to bring a lamb. Or if you were poorer, you could bring a pigeon or a dove. But the sacrifice of thanksgiving, that was at your own will. And I have to stress that. I have to stress that point. It was at your own will. The priest did not come to you and say, why have you not sacrificed? Why have you not partake of this sacrifice of thanksgiving? You had to be there and do that of your own will. You had to. When you think about it, the Israelites at the time of old, it's not like today, where they would be working in offices. Majority of their trade of commerce was to do with the land. In other words, they had to take from their livestock something. You don't know their life in how much animals that they had. Some were wealthy, some were not. So they had to bring something that would cost them something. So for them to take a lamb from their herd, that was diminishing the value of what they had left and their bank account. It cost them something to do this. So, does it mean then that they would appear before God once throughout the year just to do this one sacrifice of thanksgiving? Because remember, it's at their own will. What have you to offer God that will cost you something? The thanksgiving that you offer God has to be at your own will. Mom can't do it. Dad can't do it. You have to do it yourself. Your husband cannot do it. Your wife cannot do it. You have to do it yourself. But what exactly is it that God requires of us today? To sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, go with me there please. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. I'll pause here. God says that it's reasonable that you present yourself in what state? A living sacrifice. Why? Because it then will be what? Acceptable to God. And how is it acceptable? Why? The text tells you it has to be holy. It has to cost you something. When you give yourself to God, something has to be given up on your part. The Bible says you have to present yourself as a sacrifice on the altar. A sacrifice does not have life of its own when it is dead. You have to be on the altar. Thanksgiving linked with sacrifice. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. But why do you need to lay your life on the altar? What is it that you have to say that you're giving thanks for? Why are you presenting yourself as a living sacrifice to God? There has to come to a, you have to come to a point where God has spoken to you and said, enough. I am calling you. I desire you. I have called for thee with an everlasting love. You see, many of you young people, specifically I'm talking to you, the older folks, I'll get to you in a second. Some of you are doing things that are not right in the sight of God. I remember when I was struggling with my own weaknesses. With my very own weaknesses. And I would pray to God and say, no, do not let me do this thing again. Because why? Sin had its grip upon me. But yes, God was calling me. And God is calling some of you young people. You know what you've been doing in the week. You know what you're struggling with. It could be pornography. Some people are addicted to pornography in this room. Some people in this room right now have had fornication in the week. And you're struggling with it. And God sees it. And you know it's not right. Some of you have mouths that are vile. You speak all manner of things in certain ways in the week that is disgusting in the sight of God. And God is saying to stop it, but you do not have the power to do it of yourself. Hence, you need to make a sacrifice. God is saying you need to stop. And God is speaking to your heart right now. And saying you need to get up out of that state. Because my spirit will not always strive with men. God needs a sacrifice. Who will be the sacrifice? Here, Lord, send me. That was the response of the prophet. When Isaiah saw the glory of God, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Your weaknesses is no excuse. You know why? There is a remedy. If there was no remedy, then you could keep your excuses. In fact, it would not be excuse. It would be a logical answer because of your suffering. But there is a remedy. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. You see, some of the older folks, you too have weaknesses. You too have been in this walk and have faltered at times. But God is merciful and has kept you from day to day. God has not cut you off in your slackness. Why? Because He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Some of you are going the way of death. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 onwards. And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. God is saying, you are my dwelling place. But how can God dwell in somebody that has idols? And hence comes the call in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, that sanctification, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive ye, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God wants to be your father. We don't want it say, you are your father, the devil. Beelzebub. You want God to be your father. And that is why you are struggling right now to make a choice for God. Because Satan knows that God desires you. And nothing breaks the heart more for God than to see one of his children suffering, one who is suffering and who is struggling with a certain sin. All of us in this room, including myself, have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have weaknesses. All of us have hereditary tendencies, and that means that you have inherited things from your parents, from your lineage. But also, there are some of us that have developed evil habits. Whether they be fornication, adultery. Some of us have developed a culture to be accustomed to evil. The music that we listen to glorify who? When you look at some of these artists and the things that they get up to, and then you follow them, and then they have this word called idol. I know what it's like to struggle to give up certain things. All of us in this room have. And all of us right now know what sin is. I do not need to tell you this music is wrong, this music is right. Your conscience will tell you. That's why it says in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Why? Because your mind is now transformed. When you have a mind change, your taste and appetite is not just what you eat. Your appetite is what you desire. Your appetite will change. God will give you a new appetite. Amen. Amen. Things that you did not like, you will like now that are holy. Amen. We're still on the subject of sacrifice, of thanksgiving. If we go back to the book of Leviticus, and we go to chapter 7 this time, and I'd appreciate if you could just put a marker there, because we're going to be coming back and forth to this specific chapter from now on. So we'll save the time to find it. Leviticus chapter 7, reading verse 11 to 13. You see, the text that we read earlier, in Leviticus chapter 22, verse 29. You know, you present your sacrifice of offering with a free will. Listen to what it has to say now in conjunction to that in Leviticus chapter 22, sorry, verse 7, verses 11, chapter 7, verses 11 to 13. And this is the law of sacrifice of what?
Peace.
I'm not going to step over that. And this is the law of the sacrifice of what? Peace offering, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a what? Thanksgiving. Then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and the cakes mingled with oil after the fine flour fried. Besides the cake, he shall offer his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his what? Peace offering. You see, when the sacrifice of thanksgiving is given, it is linked in with what's called the peace offering. When you offer yourself on that altar to God, you are making peace with God. This is the lesson that God wanted to teach his people. A lesson of submission and of surrender. When they brought those loaves, you had the unleavened loaf, the unleavened cake, but then you had one that had leaven that was born also. And the two unleavened ones had oil either mingled with it or oil poured upon it. The leavened cake did not have oil poured upon it or mingled with it. And there were reasons behind this which I will speak about. When you make peace with God, it's a form of thanksgiving that God has brought you out of sin. That's why it is necessary to make a submission to God now. Because you cannot make submission or make peace with God when he returns. You need to make your peace now. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Today is when God is speaking to you and saying, now is the time to make peace. Have you got that peace? Is your sins coming up right now before you saying you do not have peace? That you need to make a peace now before the day of reckoning? You go with me, as I said, keep it marked there, to the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7 say, be careful for nothing. In other words, you need to be vigilant. You need to be on point. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You do not have to worry when situations arise. You can bring it to Christ. And when you put your supplications, your requests, that's what supplication is. When you put your petitions before God, help me with this, I am struggling. God is willing to hear these things. He delights in mercy, the Bible says. The Bible says he delights not only in mercy, but he wants to see you saved. And it says, make your request known to your Father. And your Father, who is upstairs, will send one of his servants to your aid. So when you're sitting down in front of that television or your phone or on your computer struggling with pornography or watching other things that are not right, when things are come up before you, situations in your life, wherever you are, God says he will hear. And then he says, not only he will hear, and the God of peace that passes all understanding. People might not understand what you're going through, but he understands. And what? He will give you peace. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Well, when you come to him, he can give you peace.
Amen.
The Bible says in Psalms, the wicked says, there is no peace, my God, saith the wicked. The wicked will say, there is no peace. This is what it says in Psalms. But when you come to church, when you come to Christ as a child of God, you can seriously hear, peace be still.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 3. Just a page over. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, And it can only rule your heart if He is the one that is ruling you. Who is ruling you now? What is motivating you now? And let the peace of God rule your heart, to the which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. You cannot do certain things you are doing now to the glory of God and in the name of God because you have not been that sacrifice on the altar. God is calling for a sacrifice that the peace of God may rule your heart. And that ruling of the heart can only come when submission, the free will of your own will, you come to God. You know, the strange things about it, the Bible says, no man can come unless my Father has called him. So even you coming to God is the fact that God went out of His way to call you. The life that you have now is not your own. You are on borrowed time, borrowed lifeline. And only thing, the Bible said, it's your reasonable service to present your body as a what? A living sacrifice. Why? Because the body originally belongs to God. You see, when the fertilization takes place in the woman, there's millions of sperms that run around, and it's so fit that you was the one who formed. There is a purpose and a reason for your life. There is grace that God has abundantly that can be bestowed upon you. As one speaker say, there is greatness in you. But that greatness can only come when you allow God to work in you and through you. In every one of us, there is a potential by which we can reach beyond where we are now. For the savings of ourselves and the souls of others. Some of you might have complexes about your looks, about how low self-esteem. But there is a God that says, call me Father. Some of you are struggling because of things that have been said to you and it kills your humanity. You lack self-esteem. You lack the drive to perform well in your studies and at work. What people say about you does not define who you are. Your motive is what God judges. Thanksgiving is the result of a sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 13 and 14 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. When you were where you are, or where you are right now in sin, whoever you may be, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ can bring you closer to Him. There has been a sacrifice that went before you. The Bible says that He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13. His sacrifice was put down before He is requiring you now to make a sacrifice. He is the example that went on before us, that humbled Himself unto death. Why is it so hard that we can kill pride? Why is it so hard that we find it to give up certain things we are struggling with? They're no good for us in the first place. And that's the mystery. The Bible says sin is a mystery. The mystery of iniquity. It's the mystery. You know, the guys, why are you chasing after that girl in that certain, you know, because she looks a certain way? You do not know what tomorrow holds. You could die tonight chasing after someone that you will never have. and that will be on your record. The girls, the same thing. Why are you doing certain things, talking certain things that you know is not right? You're doing certain things in the quiet that your parents do not know about. I can tell you an example. Some of the people that church folks, parents, need to be careful about. It's not so much the people in the world. They're bad enough. But it's not some of our own. You know, one of the experiences I had growing up in this church, I had friends. This is how deep it gets. I had friends here that I went to church with. There's two of them started to go out. Boy and girl started to go out. She got pregnant. When she got pregnant, he denied it. And he told me with his own mouth what he was doing. That got me even more upset. Because you're going to deny something that you have already admitted to doing. And that's one of the worst places you could find yourself when you are found out. God has already found you out. That's why he's saying, make peace with me. Be that sacrifice on the altar. Admit it. All he wants you to do is come. Go on your knees. Confess your sin and he will accept you. Now is the day of salvation. You know who you are. The strange things that sin will have you do. The strange things that Satan will have you concoct. The strongholds he will bring you in. Spirit of prophecy tells you that the sin is so deceptive. It comes, you know, you make that first step, that first choice, and you do not realize the great implication that will have later on. Why? Sin is like that frog in the pot. It only realizes when it's hot, when it's too late, because it boils slowly. And sin becomes sweet. It becomes comfortable, as I heard someone say. But when danger presents itself, and the devil now ready to claim his prey, too late. And only then we're willing to call out to God. And God is so merciful that he will actually come down, send angels to come and rescue you. But there is coming to a point by which God has set a bound. When no longer will he send angels to your aid. There is coming to that point in earth's history. We need to make our calling election sure now. You see, Leviticus chapter 7, if we go back there. Leviticus chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 12, if ye offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil. This was called the meat offering. And I always find that strange that God will call something that has no meat in it meat offering. You see, the cakes that had no leaven is yeast. So when you bake the bread, you would put yeast in there and that would make your bread rise to make it nice and soft. The Bible says that do not put any yeast in the cake and also in the wafers, but also you must bring another one that had yeast in it. The two that did not have any yeast was symbol of what do you think? It was a representation of Christ without sin. The other one is a representation of you and me, that we are to be without sin. But the one with the yeast in there also represents us, that when we present ourselves as we are, sinful. That's why you bring one with the yeast. And you offer that to the priest. You see, this peace offering, you would eat of it. The priest would eat of it. The Passover, you would eat of it. The priest would eat of it. The others, you would not eat of it. It's a two-way thing. Salvation is a two-way process. God requires for us, with a free will, to come to him. He will not force the will. The will is something that is given to you all God is asking is for you to submit back the will to Him, that He can refine it to His glory and for your sake.
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 17 says, "For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." So what? We being many are what? One bread. And of one body. For we are all partakers of one bread. Christ says, "I am the bread of life." When we partake of Christ, we become like Him eventually. One bread. We are brought into the family of God. The Bible tells us by adoption. But not only that, when you come to God, He gives you something you don't have. A divine nature. And His nature is all powerful. All we need to do is learn how to submit and see how that divine nature will do its thing in us. How that sin that we are struggling with will be overcome. You know, I've come to the point now to realize if I can give up one sin, which I know I have, then it is possible to give up all the other sins.
Amen.
You think about now in your own life what you have struggled with and what you have stopped doing, what you have caught up, and see how God has brought you from where you was to where you are now. Why not go the extra mile? The devil will have you believe that the thing that you are holding on to now, you are not able to give up. And if you give it up, it's as though the world will end today. The truth is, the world will end whether you want it to or not. And if you are holding on to it, you will end with it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, "We are sanctified." The word sanctified means to be set apart. "Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all." That sacrifice that was done for us, we are set apart when we partake of that bread, which is Christ. Jesus says, if you eat my flesh, meaning if you partake of His life, if you accept Him and partake of His life, you will have life eternal. But that leaven, coming back to that leaven of sin, Luke chapter 12, verse 1 says, Luke chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, He began to say unto His disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." That leaven, that yeast that was put in the bread that we would have to bring to the priest, means hypocrisy, one of the meanings. The hypocrisy that's going on in your own life needs to be cut out. And it can only be cut out when you bring a full surrender to Christ. Hypocrisy, you are acting. You are behaving in a way that you really are not. I will only have worship when I have guests at my house. I will only do my homework to make it look like that I'm actually doing my homework. You know, the Bible, the spirit of prophecy tells us as well that it's by our motive God will judge us. So what we do now in front of men, for men to see, you cannot fool God. God sees and knows everything that is going on in the deep recesses of your own mind. Matthew chapter 16 verses 5 to 12 talks about the leaven of false doctrines, false teaching. And so I won't dwell on this too much, but you have the false teachings that are taking place in and around Seventh-day Adventism now in various ways. And that's why you need to study the Word of God for yourself.
Amen.
To know that when error is presented itself, you are already versed by the Spirit and the Word of God to know what sin is and know what a false teaching is. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. Your glorying is not good. So you're showing up now. Know ye not that a little leaven or sin, leaven at the whole lump, when you put a little yeast inside the dough, it makes it spread and it makes it rise. That sin in your life now, you think that it's only a little thing. You would be surprised. If it's just, before I go there, why do you find it so hard to give up if it's just a little thing? If it's a little one, surely you can just get rid of it. But it shows you the deception that Satan plants in our mind to believe that there's a little sin and there's a big sin. Sin is sin.
Amen.
What I'm doing now is not as bad as that. What that person is doing now. Your glory is not good. You cannot compare yourself to no one but Christ. He is the perfect example. And when His image is put up before you, you will realize how far you are from the mark. You will now know where you need to strive towards and why God is wanting you now to work towards the mark. Because when you work towards the mark, you will never fully attain, but yet you can comprehend.
Yes.
Verse 6, chapter 5, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaven up the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of what? Malice, and with wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. There are some people here now that might be holding malice with someone, even in your very household, or someone sitting here in the congregation. You are that old leaven. The Bible says that you need to give that up now. Because if you have that leaven of malice, it's that old man that has resurrected. It's that sin that needs to be purged out, that you need to be that new lump, that new individual, that new person that God desires you to be. The Bible also tells us, in Leviticus chapter 7, that the oil needed to be mingled with the cake, and that the oil needed to be poured out on the wafer, but no oil was ever put near the leavened bread. We already identified that the bread representation of us and Christ. You see, in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, it says, A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. Right now, you cannot keep the law of God because you're that old person. You need to purge out that leaven. You need that oil now to come in and do the work inside of you. Hence, the oil was mingled with the cake. It got between every part of that cake and did its work also. A representation of the Holy Spirit needs to come in your life. You need the Holy Spirit. You cannot do this thing on your own. Jesus says, when I go, I will send him, the Comforter, the Spirit, and he will tell you of all things that I have told him. So when you hear that voice in your head saying what you're doing is wrong, that is the Holy Spirit. When you hear that voice, this is the way, walk in it, that is the Holy Spirit. When you hear that voice saying, put that phone down, lock off that pornography, stop telling that lie, stop committing fornication, stop doing this, and it goes on and on and that. That's the Holy Spirit trying to save you from destruction. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And it will keep you in the way. The Holy Spirit will manifest itself in various ways in your life. Some through healing, some through teaching. And that's why young people, you know, the Bible says in, I think it's Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, the young are like the arrow in the hands of a mighty man. Now is the time to be poured out with the Spirit of God. We're in a time such as this, that God can use you as mighty men and mighty women to do his work. Like armies that run through the house and the land of Israel. And also now in the land of Birmingham, Wolverhampton, wherever God wants you to be, you can be a mighty warrior. When people come to you with foolishness, you can speak a word of God and they cannot gainsay or deny what has been said. The Bible tells you when the soldiers came to Jesus, they went back and said, never have we heard a man spoke like this. You want to reach your full potential. You can only truly do that when you submit your life to God. Amen. We are to be the head and not the tail. Amen. That's why you make serious with whatever you do. Whatever you find your hands to do, do it all your might. Some of us are mighty in doing wickedness, but when it comes to do the work of God, we are very poor. And that is a sign to show your spiritual state. That reveals the nature of your character. How can I with my mouth praise God, but at the same time, I'm not willing to do his bidding? So you have the Holy Spirit doing its work in you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 and 7. It tells you that this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Saying the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I will write them, and their sins and their iniquity will I remember no more. Why? The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in the same vessel as where wickedness is being performed. That's why the Bible says, you are that temple that God desires to dwell in. And if he comes in, something's got to go out. Baal and Christ has not the same thing in Christ. Worldliness and godliness cannot be combined. The way we dress, the way we speak, is a revelation of our character. Do not judge me because I'm wearing this. You don't know what I'm going through. Who is speaking? What spirit is motivating you? Why do you need to go to, you know, put on these things that do it? You know, I heard one preacher say this. Makeup is just that. Make up. Some of you don't get it. But, you know, some people might need it. But why do you need to have the green, the blue, the purple? What's that making up? You see, these things are a revelation and showing that self is now the mastery. Self is on the throne of the heart. And where the spirit is needed to be, the man of sin is. So where the throne of the heart is, God says, you know what? Your free will is that you can stay there on that throne. However, what I'm saying to you, as a free will offering to me, let me sit on that throne. Let me be the one that rule that throne. Let me be the one that rule that kingdom in you. The Bible says that the devil came to Christ, and Christ said, the prince of this world has come and has found nothing in me. Can that be said of you? Satan knows what cords to pull. He knows what strings to pluck. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our parents. And he watches you when you were born to see, will this child develop the same hereditary tendencies that their parents have? That's why some of you are struggling with certain things, because they have been handed down to you, not any fault of your own, but you are now responsible because of the choices you make. You know, when you look at the commandment where God says, I will visit the iniquity of the father to the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. It's because sin is like a frog that hops down from generation to generation. And some of you are struggling with hereditary tendencies that can be stamped out. Amen. There is power beyond you that can deal with this thing. Amen. That's why a sacrifice of thanksgiving is needed. You need to be on the altar. The Bible also tells us that the oil was also poured on, which is a representation of the Holy Spirit being poured out on you. So you have the Spirit in you, the daily walk, the Holy Spirit poured out on you, manifestation of divine power in ways and means that you cannot comprehend. On the day of Pentecost, it says that they spoke and other people in other languages could hear them. That's just one example of things that the Holy Spirit can do through you, that other people will watch in wonder and wondering what is taking place with that individual. And you can see all what I'm telling you right now manifested in the life of Christ. When he was baptized, the Bible says the heavens opened and the dove-like form came down on him, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And in his life he did certain miracles and did certain things, healing the sick and the blind, raising the dead. And Acts chapter 2 verse 17 makes a promise that if we are willing and obedient, it can be fulfilled in our lifetime, in now, today. And Acts chapter 2 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. You see, no oil was ever put upon the laven bread because it's sinful. It's a representation of sinfulness. The Holy Spirit cannot be poured out on you in a state of sinfulness. If you're playing around with things, you're not. The Holy Spirit cannot work with you. That's confusion. The Bible also tells us in Leviticus chapter 2 verse 13. He says, and every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offering thou shalt offer salt. Matthew chapter 5 verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt be lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? That same bread, without the leaven and without the yeast, needs to be salted. But if the salt is not good, it serves no purpose. The Bible tells us we are also that salt. You see how this thing, how God has put this system together to represent us and sin and him and salvation all in one package. Colossians chapter 4 verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You must walk in a certain way, the Bible says, with wisdom for them that are without. Who are they that are without? The unbelievers. Why do you need to walk in a certain way? Verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with what? Salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Certain situations that Jesus found himself in, Because he was well seasoned, he was able to give an appropriate response. Some of us might be struggling with anger and say certain things at whatever time, and you can get yourself in trouble. The Bible says, be what? Salt. Well seasoned. And you can only go back when you have the combination of what? No yeast. You have the fine flour. You know, the bread mingled with oil. You see the combination? And now you add the component of salt. That means you will be now a well-rounded Christian. And it doesn't end there. There's another part where it says that when you offer these meat offerings, you must put frankincense on it. Why? Because it brings a sweet smell. James chapter 3 verse 10. Out of the mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Ought not so to be. You cannot be cursing 1 minute and then at the same time pronouncing things that are good. That sounds like someone that's schizophrenia or that's some kind of complex. God does not work with confusion. People need to know what you stand for. These movie stars and pop stars and politicians, we know what they stand for because they proclaim themselves on the television, in the media. What do you stand for? What do people see you stand for? If someone starts to see you now in school, wherever you are, university, colleges, in your workplace, where people see you, what would they see of you? What would they say of you? Who would they say you are giving glory to? You know, the whole thing is about sacrifice. Luke chapter 14, verses 33 to 35, it tells us, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not what? All that he had. He cannot be my disciple. It's an all process. A sacrifice cannot be on the outer partway. You do not see a sacrifice rolling off the altar and running away. That's not a sacrifice. You need to go all out. Paul says, you know, I was shipwrecked thrice. I was beaten and betrayed by my own countrymen. You need to go all out with Christ. Christ went all out. The Bible said he humbled himself even unto death. He went all out, and in the greatest soliloquy, that greater than Hamlet, he was on the cross, he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. If there was a greatest word that could be said of men, he said it. Verse 34 of Luke chapter 14, it says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? How can it make any impact in your community if you're not seasoned? Verse 35, it is neither fit for land or yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that had an ear, let him hear. The Bible says it's not even fit for the dunghill. You just cast it out and you just walk on it. Some of us are being walked on now because we're not seasoned. People treat you like rubbish because you're not seasoned. You're not carrying yourself in a certain way. People, when they know that you are a child of God, they will respect you even if they do not agree with you. I know this and I've seen experience in my own life. Mark chapter 9 verse 50, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will he season? Have salt in yourselves. And have peace one with another. You see, Leviticus chapter 7 verse 14 tells us that the priest sprinkles now the blood. So you have the sacrifice. The blood is to be sprinkled after peace offering. Christ is the one that ministers for us and his own blood. His blood is the one that covers us. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which is a figure of the true tabernacle, of the true, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, the lamb that was slaughtered, or the animal that was slaughtered, the fat had to be removed. Psalms 37 says, verse 20, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. If you do not separate sin, or get sin separated from you, you will be consumed. Sin has to be separated now. Matthew 25 verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you want these words to be said to you? I say no, I don't. Leviticus chapter 7 verse 30. You have to bring your own peace offering. You have to bring your own peace offering. No one can bring it for you. That's why the text we read at the very onset, Luke chapter 22 verse 29, it's at your own will. And when you bring that peace offering, when you bring that thanksgiving offering, when you bring that sacrifice, you need to yourself put it into the hand of the priest. You need to put your things, your life, into the hand of our high priest. He is the only one that can officiate on our behalf. He is the middleman. In fact, he is the main man. You see, also with the lamb, certain parts of the lamb was to be given to the priest. The right shoulder. Christ is the one we can lean on. Christ is the one that can carry our burdens. In fact, Isaiah puts it this way. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called the mighty God, the wonderful counselor, the everlasting father, the prince of peace. Now is the time we can rest our burdens upon God. Now is the time he can carry our weight. Carry my yoke and my burden, for they are light and they are easy. You see, with a yoke, you don't walk alone. With a yoke, you will be two oxen walking together. Christ is saying now, take my yoke, come join me. Be on my right side, and I will walk with you. The weight is not too great. That you can carry alone. I will carry it for you, and I will carry it with you. We are not left to ourselves. You see, the Bible says you also give the breast to the priest. We can come into the bosom of God, and he will not cast us out. The Bible also says, if you touch anything unclean and eat of this sacrifice, it says that you will be cut off. You cannot have this sacrifice and then go back to your old ways. You need to go all out with him. He is looking for total surrender. And someone now knows that God is calling you. You have not given your life through the watery baptism. In Romans chapter 6, it says that baptism is a representation of the burial and the death and the resurrection of Christ. It's that sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice that you can make, that God is calling you towards now. And I am making this appeal, not for my own sake, but because of individuals in here that have heard this message and know that God is calling you to make that watery grave baptism now. And I'm calling you to make that stance. Is there someone that will make that stand right now? Someone that have heard this message, you know your own life, I don't. And I know that God is calling someone. If you stand to your feet right now and come to the front, that baptism can be done for you and with you and put you under that grave. so that old man or that old woman can be put away? Who is that individual that God is calling now? I'm making this appeal very specific. Someone God is calling now. You know who you are. You know your struggles. You know what you've been up to in the weeks. You know your weaknesses. I don't, and I don't need to know. I'm asking again, who is that person that God is calling? Do not be afraid to stand for God. He went all the way. Now He's asking you to come all the way with Him, that you can go all the way with Him to heaven. Salvation is a free. It's been paid for. You see, the thing with thanksgiving and offering and sacrifices, it has to cost something. Someone else has to put in the effort that it costs something. Someone, God is calling you, and I am making that call, that appeal right now. And I'm asking you to come to the front. Do not make the day go and you regret not making a stand now. Whoever you are, I'm asking you to come to the front, make a surrender. You know what you need to put away. You know that the commitment is a great one. You know that the commitment is a great one. You know that the commitment is a great one. Don't worry about what other people are thinking, because you know why? When the time comes, and that morning, when Jesus burst through the clouds, you're going to be standing on your own. So you better be standing on your own now. Because at the end of the day, you know in your heart of hearts that when I go home, I might be crying in my very own pillow and wallowing in my sin when I could have had relief. Salvation is guaranteed so long as you accept it. That is the condition, so long as you accept it, so long as you go all the way. If you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Who is it that needs to give their life to Christ? Come down and meet me at the front. Which one of you God is speaking to, desperately asking you to come to the front? God is asking you, praise God. God is asking someone to come to the front. It is a serious commitment, but God is serious about your salvation. Do not be talking while this is going on. You do not mess with spiritual things. Come to the front. I will pray for you. And I will make that open up also. If you are struggling with things, come to the front. Someone has requested to come to the front because they know they have their own problem. If somebody else knows they have their own problem, come to the front. This is the thing where angels now are going to and fro and see the commitments that are being made, things that need to be worked out. And the books are being recorded that this stance was made. I don't need to know the problem. God does. He knows them already and He can work them out. It may be relationship that needs to be mended. It may be things that needs to be given up. And God is calling you to come and make a stance. The day is not over until God says it is over. Your time on earth is not over until He says it's over. Whatever it is you are struggling with, God can break those strongholds. There is no sin too great that He cannot break. He is a great peacemaker. Come and make your peace with God. Those that have come specifically for baptism, I ask you to speak with the elder as well, please. I ask the congregation to stand. And as we stand, if you know that you need to make a stand, come forward still. Eternal Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord. You know the hearts of individuals that have come forward. You see the struggles that have gone on in their very own lives. You see the young lady that has come to give her life to you, dear Father. And I ask that you would work on her heart, dear Lord, and give her strength. Give her the victory, dear Lord. You have already given her courage. Now I ask, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work continually with her. I pray for the others that have come, dear Lord. You know their problem. Especially the lady that have cried out, dear Lord, I have a problem. Lord, in your day, dear Father, there was a man that was possessed, that run towards you. But you saw beyond the possession, dear Father, that there was a soul crying out for help. And you freed him. And Spirit prophecy tells us, dear Father, that those that did not cry out was in a worse condition. So I now pray and ask, dear Lord, that you would work on the situations and the problems and the issues in the life of every individual that has come forward, dear Lord. That you will be a mighty counselor, a breakthrough. That you will be the peace, dear Father, in their life, the ruling force. I pray for those that have heard this message, that have not come forward, that have heard the Spirit speak to their consciences, dear Lord, that you will continue work on their heart and work on their mind. That this salvation thing is not a game, dear Lord. That it's serious business. This is your business, dear Lord. And that your bank is not full. That your bank still is in need of people to invest souls into your services, dear Lord. I pray now that you will be with every head here, that your Spirit will continue to work in the lives and the heart of individuals. And I thank you for hearing this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.